Amen, amen. Let's give God some praise today. Man, that last line. Welcome somebody into church. Say good morning. Happy that you are here today. Man, it's good. It's good. So my grandparents' house, growing up as a kid, we would spend about 90% of our time there, it seemed like. It was a second home to us. They lived just up the hill. It was one of those kind of situations. And I can remember in their living room that on the wall in a built-in bookcase was a full set of encyclopedias. Yeah. Does anybody still have the encyclopedias in your home? Maybe. They're still in my grandparents' home. Whenever growing up as a kid, when you wanted to know something, you would grab an encyclopedia. And they were, you know, whatever the topic was, you were hopeful that it had a little bit of information. If you didn't know it from an encyclopedia, then maybe you got it from a newspaper, or maybe you heard it from a word of a friend. So I'm in that unique age where I was born in 1992. So I'm telling you my age, born in 1992. And so I can remember everything before the internet, but then I also grew up with the internet. And the way in which we receive information today is way different than we did in the past. Way, way different. Right now, we are flooded with information. We're flooded with content. We are flooded with voices now that are just everywhere. If you want to know something today, what do? You Google it, right? You don't even have to type anything in. You can just hold the button and say, "Hey, Siri, tell me this." Not only do we have the access to the World Wide Web, but we also have this little thing in our pocket called an iPhone that has podcasts on it, that has videos on it, that has even now, you don't even have to watch a full-length video. You can just catch something in a 30-second to 60-second video to get what you want to hear. There is more content being produced right now than ever before. And the question we're going to lead in today is that the challenge is that with a flood of info like this, how do you know what's true? How do you know what's false? This has been a topic that we've seen all throughout our culture being an issue and a problem. You can see misinformation or false communications happening over and over and over again. But it's really beyond culture. How do we just answer the question? How do we know it's true? How do we filter the voices that are worth following and distinguish them from the ones that may be leading people astray? How do we do that? Listen, this has been a problem for generations. Every generation has had multiple voices speaking either truth or something that is false. This is not something new to us. But what is new is the load of information and load of people that are speaking. And this becomes a problem in culture, but it really becomes a problem when it comes to our faith. It becomes a problem for us because right now we are being overly, it's like you're being poured on, showered by all sorts of content and information that you're having to decipher and you're having to understand, is this true or is this false? And the big idea for today, I'm just going to step right into it today, that what we're going to find is that not everyone who claims to speak for God is from God. Not everyone who claims to speak for God actually does. This is something that we want to just set as a standard, as a baseline. It's going to be leading us in to our passage for today. There are more voices and more choices than ever before. I'm continuing to use the same language, right? Just so we know. But they don't always lead to more wisdom, more insight. Right now, I'd say the narrative would be it's confusion. More and more information, the voices haven't led to necessarily greater understanding or greater truth, but maybe has led to more confusion. Jesus knew that this was going to be a problem. And not only he knew it was going to be a problem for his disciples. And he also knew that it was going to be a problem for us some 2,000 years later. And he gave us a warning that we read about today, that false prophets will come. And here's what we got to know. They're going to look spiritual. They're going to sound wise. But they will lead us away from the truth. And he says that they won't look like wolves, but they'll look like sheep. So, today, if you have your Bible, we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 7. We've continued in this series on the Sermon on the Mount, where we're calling it Built to Last. And what we're seeing is that in order for our relationships and for us to be able to experience life in the way in which God intended for us to, we must have our lives built on something. And we are continually communicating that the foundation of Jesus Christ is something worth building your life upon. And that most importantly includes his teaching. And so this matters so much. I was just sharing continually with a group of guys. What we believe about God shapes our entire lives. If we follow what is false, we risk building our faith on something that is shaky and not firm. But when we build our life upon Jesus and his truth, we are rooted in something that is unshakable and something that will last. And so the most important question that you have to answer today is, who are you looking to? Who are you listening to today? Are the voices that you're following leading you to life, or are they leading you further away from the truth? Now, just to be completely honest, this isn't a simple message to preach because there's so many nuances to it. But we're going to take it for what Jesus has spoken, and hopefully it begins to bring some wisdom on how do we understand what is true and what is false. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he begins like this. He says, "Beware." Beware, talking to the disciples, talking to a large crowd. He says to them, he said, "Beware of false prophets." And these false prophets, what are they? False prophets, they are those that proclaim that they speak for God, but they are not from God. They are claiming that they are bringing forth some sort of wisdom and some sort of truth, but yet it is false and is out of line. Now, when they hear this word false prophets, we want to continue to see like Jesus wasn't talking to Carter Countyans, okay? He was talking to a group of Jewish Israelites. And when they heard false prophets, they were like, whoa, false prophets are still a part of the story? Because they would have remembered how much false prophets have been about the story of the Bible. Let me just share with you a couple, or one really in particular. In 1 Kings chapter 22, there is a king. His name was Ahab. And Ahab had 400 prophets under his rule and under his reign. 400 voices. And he was trying to make a decision of whether or not to go into war with a nearby city. And anytime you go to war, any king is going to ask, will we win? Can we take it? Well, during this time, Ahab summoned all 400 prophets and he says, I need to hear from the Lord what we should do. Should we go or should we not? And so he summons all 400 prophets. You know what all 400 prophets tell him? Yes, go. The Lord will give you this city. The Lord today has promised to you that when you go into war, when you go into battle, that you will win and you will conquer. 400 voices said yes. Why? Why? Well, number one, the king wants to hear a certain thing. There's something the king wants to hear, and it's go. That victory is mine. But there is someone that speaks up. There is this guide that comes in and tells King Ahab, surely there's another prophet. And basically what he's saying, surely there's somebody that isn't just trying to tickle your ear. Surely there's somebody that we could ask that may give real wisdom. And so there's this guy. His name's Jehoshaphat. And he said, there must be another one. And they say, well, the king says, well, there is one more prophet that I have, but I don't like him very much. His name's Micaiah. I don't like him. You know why I don't like him? Because he never tells me anything favorable. He only tells me things that lead to doom or destruction. Or as he says, like he speaks this out, that it's like he only gives me the things that I don't want to hear. Never prophesizes good towards me only. But he calls him in anyways. And he says to him, give me what the Lord has. What is the Lord telling me? And he says this in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 23. He says, so now the Lord, this is Micaiah saying this to Ahab, so now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all of these prophets of yours. He said, the Lord has really decreed disaster for you. One prophet in the voice of 100 comes and speaks truth. You know what Ahab does? He listens to the 400. You know what happens to Ahab? He dies. All because of the voice of someone that's claimed to speak for God, but did not. It affirms that oftentimes that our preferences, rather than challenging us, or that we would rather be have our preferences affirmed than being challenged by what may be true or what may be right. But there's always this danger that comes for us about being led astray because of our preferences and what we want to hear. You all, this is just across the board. Everybody here has a YouTube account or a Facebook account or an Instagram account. Some way that you're watching some sort of video, right? What is it that keeps popping up? What you like to watch. It's called the algorithm. It's the craziest thing, isn't it? Crazy. Well, if you go to like our YouTube on the home TV, you'll find do perfect, do perfect, do perfect, do perfect. If you go to the shorts, you know what you find? Do perfect, do perfect, do perfect. It's what me and the boys, we love to watch until I stepped into my sourdough era. It has begun. It has begun. And it has been this opportunity where I started searching on YouTube how to make sourdough. And then before you know it, I watched 15 videos. And you know now what shows up on the algorithm? Sourdough. I messed it all up. It's all gone. It's so equipped. This is like how crazy that the algorithm is and the information that comes. It's never anything that comes against what you want to hear. It's always just giving you more and more and more of the same type of information. Always, always. And this is something that we got to know whenever we look at King Ahab, is that it's never about what is true. It's always about what we like. And the information that we oftentimes receive falls right in line there. It always affirms our preferences rather than challenging us with truth. And I believe that oftentimes what we'll find with false prophets is the same way, is that they'll oftentimes never lean into this aspect of coming against what you believe is true, but rather trying to affirm any sort of mistruth in your life in whatever way and whatever repetition that it can so that the alternate voices are silenced. Now, in Jesus' time, false prophets were also being recognized in the religious leaders, in the Pharisees, and the religious leaders that were of Jesus' day. They mirrored these false prophets. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 through 28, we get to see a little bit. Jesus called them over and over hypocrites. The religious leaders were hypocrites. And he says it like this in just some really strong language. He says, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, you appear beautiful. But within, you are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And he's continuing to affirm, false prophets will oftentimes on the outward appearance look like they are religious. But he says that you will begin to see and know that what is within them is completely far away from God, full of lawlessness, full of deceitfulness. It is why, as we see in Matthew chapter 7, he calls them sheep. Now, Paul, he also speaks into this. Paul, one of the most influential early Christian leaders, He wrote letter after letter after letter warning about the early church that do not be deceived by all sorts of teaching. He says it in two different ways. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says it like this. It says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. We will come to hate it. Said, but having their itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to what suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Isn't that insane? That was 2,000 years ago. They were still facing the same things today. There's never been a more true statement than that for us today. We not want nothing more than to hear the things that sound pleasing to our hearts and to our ears. And the same was true for them. He says, do not be deceived. The time is coming. And then we see, once again, beyond that, he talks about 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which speaks even more in depth to what false prophets really are and how they are really in some ways being manipulated and being used. But yeah, go ahead, throw it up, Levi. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15, it says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as what? Apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Listen, there is verse after verse after verse that I can continue to share with you that affirms the reality of false prophets and false teachings among us. But just for these, it's like you get to see how much deception that there was in the early church and even today. Now, what else does he say? In Matthew chapter 7, he says, beware of false prophets who what? Come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. It's every passage we've just read. I don't know about you. Sheep are unassuming, aren't they? There's nothing scary, nothing really profound about a sheep. The thing about it is that Jesus continually talks about his church as being his flock. He is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. And so here's what's really crazy is that he's saying that they will be like sheep. It means that they will be among us, that they will be in the rows, in your circles, in your voice. Like, they will not be outside of the community of God, but many will be found inside of the community of God. They will look like sheep. They will sound like sheep. They will walk like sheep. They will dress like sheep. They will, in all ways, look like sheep. But they're wolves, ravenous wolves. Coming, and what do wolves do? They try to isolate, they try to steal, they try to kill. They are only out for themselves and the destruction of the entire flock. A sheep never cares about the shepherd, or a wolf never cares about the shepherd and never cares about the sheep. And so you get to see this line. It's like, not everything that looks like truth is truth. They will always have this deceptive appearance, and they're so well disguised and so ingrained in the community that you won't even be able to recognize them, at least on the surface. They will have this distorted teaching. They will have self-serving motives and destructive motives. I love, there's this movie. We've watched two of them now. It's based on a book, The Murder on the Oriental Express. Have you all seen this movie or maybe read the book? And the great detective, he says this. I feel like this is what it's like. He says, if there was a murder, I'm not going to do the accent. It would just be sad. If there was a murder, then there is a murderer. So he says it, a murderer. And then the murderer is on this train. So he kind of continues to, like, the murderer is with us. And so it's this connection point to us is that Jesus is saying, hey, there is false prophets. There will be, there are, there has been. They will look like sheep. He said, but inside they are ravenous wolves looking to lead you astray, lead you far from God. And what's he say? He says, beware. But then he also gives us some real encouragement. He says they do exist, but he gives us a way in which we can identify them. And what's he say? He says, you will know them by their fruits. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, 16 through 20. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. You see, every single tree will only produce what is in its very nature. A tree can never, ever, like if it is an apple tree, as much as it tries, it will never be able to produce pears. It will only be able to produce what is of its nature. But false prophets are so crafty is that their fruit will look almost like the fruit of others. I want to show you one picture. It is of a buckthorn. Go ahead and throw it up. What's this look like? What's it look like? Yeah. Grapes is one thing I've seen. Do you see grapes? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we have different grapes in our fridge. But if you were to go out and pick that and you think, oh my goodness, that looks like a cherry or that looks like a grape, and then you were to eat it, you would slowly or maybe quickly find out that's not at all what it is. And Jesus is using this like, no, do these types of thorns produce the fruit? Do we see this here? Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are grapes gathered from this? Well, you can try. And then they use grapes primarily for wine. And when you try to ferment that, I promise you, you will get something very different than what you thought. But then there's another one. There's a fig tree. Figs, they look like these images. This is what a fig looks like. But throughout nature, you find that there's also deceptive fruits that look a little bit similar, not completely. Let's go to the next photo, Levi. You can get to see this. This is a thistle. A thistle and a fig has similar characteristics, but once again, they do not produce usable fruit that is brings like life, that brings forth what you are, what we are ultimately desiring. But in all things, in all ways, what we find is that they look deceiving. And even their fruit will look deceiving. But it's once you begin to see that their fruits reveal the true nature, and you begin to see that that there's bitterness in what you thought was a cherry, but really is just a buckthorn fruit, or when you find that you actually can't eat that, you find that the truth begins to be revealed. Now, I had some Jordan 11s in high school. I wanted them so bad. They were the ones that were black with the red bottom. Now, I was also one that didn't want to spend a lot of money in high school. I had to save up anything that was left over from my allowance. And I told myself, I'm going to get a pair of Jordan 11s. So I did. But I didn't buy them off of Nike.com. I went on eBay and I seen that I could get these Jordan 11s for like $75. The box looked good. The stitching looked good. Everything on the outward appearance looked good. Bought them, got them in, put them on my feet, and I'm like, this feels a little off. And not only did it feel off, but then over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks, the inside lining began to tear away. The sole, over the course of not that long a time, began to fall apart. You know what I bought? Fakes. Fakes. You see, it's this continual thing. Like, what looks good? What has everything to every single detail lined out and played out? It's like only its true nature will eventually come to life. Like, them Jordans weren't meant for balling at all. They were barely meant for walking. But they began to reveal themselves. Like, the true fruit, the true nature began to show itself. Listen, good fruit will always come whenever there's an alignment with what God's word has to say. Bad fruit will always lead to selfishness, pride, and a gospel that normally revolves and always seems to be right now revolving around ourselves rather than around Jesus. And how do we begin to see this? Listen, when you are working in a garden or whenever you're trying to see fruit come upon a tree, let me tell you, it takes time. It takes time. This is the hardest thing right now about identifying false prophets is that we would like to be able to identify them right now, but most of the time it's impossible unless they've been communicating for a long time. You see, we will know them by their fruits, but it takes some time before the fruit becomes evident. Now, there's things that you may look at a person's life and you may see that there's inconsistencies. Listen, here's what's really powerful is that you should look at my life. You should look at my life. You should look at my family's life. You should look at my wife. You should look at our home. And you should ask the question, is there fruit? Is there fruit? Is Aaron walking in integrity to God's word? Is Aaron leading his family with integrity and humility? Like, Aaron ain't perfect. Don't put that on me. I will disappoint you because I am not perfect. But is there fruit? Is there fruit to my life? Like, you should be asking that question. Now, here's what's really powerful about that is that you could come into our home or you can do life with us and you can see over the course of time, hey, there is fruit in Aaron's life. Or you can come to know me. Here's where I think it's really hard is that through all the media outlets, you don't know their life. It's hard to tell what is fruitful and what isn't fruitful because we don't know them. False prophets didn't come to these people through TikTok. They came to them in a temple where they got to hear them speak and they got to see their lives. And over the course of time, their very nature would come to life. This is what's hard for us. We're catching teaching in 60-second moments, and it's hard to understand what is fruitful and what is not. But time, it says, will give us the answer. Fruit will eventually come to life. Their very nature will begin to reveal itself. And so he says, look at their fruit. And I want you to look at the fruit of your own life. Is your life fruitful because of the teaching that you have been under? Is there some other teachings that you're listening that has not led you to fruit, but has led you to decay and destruction? You can understand this and you can walk this out. Now, today, I wanted to just ask this big question, though, as we set this up. He says, beware, they look like sheep, but they're ravenous wolves. You will recognize them and you will know them by their fruit. And so I began to pray last night, God, what are the false teachings that are impacting us today in the rows? Like in the room, like in our story, what is it, God, that's impacting us today? And with all humility, and I want to just speak into a couple things that I see and I notice that culture speaks very loudly about that I see that may be connected to some teaching that is false. And listen, the thing that we note here is that we are never, Jesus doesn't say to shout out false prophets. You see this, right? He says, beware. Like, is there a time to where you can come to me and say, Aaron, you are not living in accordance to God's word? Yes. Yes. Like, there is that. But we find here that there isn't like this battle. There isn't this fighting. He just says, beware. They're going to look like sheep. They're going to look like sheep. So beware. Be on guard. And right now, there's some really strong like language of sheep that I think is coming out. And I'm not sharing these once again to be right. I'm just sharing with you some things I notice and recognize. Number one is that all throughout the church world and our language and our culture is this elevation of self. All right? The elevation of self. This book is not about you. All right? It's not about you. It's about a God who loves you. It's about a son who came and died for you. You're not the main character in the story. But if you hear language, it sometimes makes you feel like you are, doesn't it? Just real quickly, live your truth. Follow your heart. Disney claimed that one. God wants you to be happy. There's an age of pluralism where everybody's opinion matters and everybody's opinion has worth and everybody's opinion has value. And really what you're saying is that everybody has their own expression of truth and their own expression of what is right. And then right now, once again, like over the social media and the algorithms, you find yourself in like echo chambers to where you aren't hearing anything that's different than what you already want to hear. you're reinforcing biases and the desires. And then there's like this relativism where all things are relative and all things are just based on experience and based on what you believe. This is just one, an elevation of self versus an elevation of Christ. This is one. It's huge. Then we talked last week, and I'm going to say it in this language, and I think it's important to say it this way, that the narrow way, it's too exclusive. And there's like this whole gambit of communication that is coming out where like you can believe in God, but you never have to surrender to God. That you can put your faith in Jesus and you can maybe say that he is your Savior, but he doesn't have to be your Lord. Those two things are completely separate. When the disciples came to Jesus and Jesus says, follow me, you know what they did? They left everything. When Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and he says, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus tells him, sell everything that he had. And the man said, had the man what? He didn't follow. He went away sad because he had a lot of money. He had a lot of wealth. Like there's something to be said here that like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, once again, that 13, enter by the narrow gate for what? The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. It says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those that who find it are few. Like, it's hard. What's it say? It's hard that leads to life. It's a difficult path. It's not an easy path. Why? Because it's always going to be a path of surrender to God's will. And to lay down your will for God's will be one of the hardest things that you could ever do. It is death to self. It's the pick up your cross and follow me language. It is never about your comfort. Like the first church, they all died. They all died. They were all persecuted until 300 AD. And so you just get to see that like when you begin to hear language where it's talking about, listen, it's really not that hard to follow Jesus, or it's really an easy way, or you know, it may be that, like it's a wide path to God, or anything of those things that come against it. There's comforts, there's dreams, there's plans, there's hopes, there's aspirations that we all have. But most of the time, it doesn't advocate for the narrow way. I put it in this way, a lesser calling. A lesser calling than what we find throughout Scripture. If at any point it sounds too easy, or if it sounds too good, or if it sounds like it's without any sort of act of surrender or repentance, then it may not be from God. These are just two. There are many. I could take the next 6 weeks and talk about all of the different false teachings that seem to be most evident and seem to be most true. But most importantly for today is that I want to give you a little bit of like, how do we do it? How do we examine, or how do we walk in truth? Listen, today, if you're wrestling with what is truth, this is that's like the most beautiful thing in your heart. If you are trying to understand what is true, that is a beautiful thing. If you come in today and you're like, I am so far away from God. I have so many beliefs about God already, but I'm open to consider who he is. Praise God. Like if you could come to the point to where you're seeking and you're searching, Jesus will meet you there. Jesus never demands blind faith. He always inviting people to seek and to ask questions. But for you today and for everyone here today, I want to give us into just three simple things. But really, it's the first one that matters above all else, all right? The first one matters. How do we discern truth from deception? Here it is. This is going to blow your mind. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? It's going to be the best thing you've heard all day long. You got to know the real thing. You got to know the real thing, okay? What's the real thing? God's word. You got to immerse yourself in God's word. Now, this is tricky. This is tricky. I'll use one example of why this is so tricky. Because when you're on Facebook and somebody makes a post, what do? Throw in God's word. And you read that verse, and then you read what they said, and you're just like, I don't know where in the world or how in the world that was used. So I just want to bring to life, number one, God's word has been used as a weapon and a tool to continually deceive and manipulate with half-truths and myths. So beyond that, I don't need to judge anymore. Here's the call. Know the real thing. Bank tellers, like old school bank, we got to go back in time before the markers, okay? Before that, I don't even, probably a machine now. Before that, how did they know the real thing? How could they tell the real $100 bill from a fake one? How? They studied over and over and over and over and over the real thing. They understood how it felt. They understood how the serial numbers were just so uniquely written out, and all the numbers they would have recognized and see play out. They would have known every single detail because what they spent countless hours doing over and over again was holding it and observing it. And when a false or when a fake $100 bill came across their counter, then they could just touch it and they could see something's off. And then for further examination, they could begin to look at the numbers and the serial and begin to say, something's not adding up here. And over the course of multiple observation, you can begin to say, this is not true. This is not real. This is fake. And so listen, here is my encouragement for you today. It's like, how do we come against false teachings? Like, you know the real thing. You know the real thing. And here's how you got to come at it. You don't come to Scripture trying to affirm what you already believe or what you think is true and what you think is right. I can't tell you how many times I see this. You're like, no. God, I may be wrong. Let me look with a humble heart and an observant heart. May your spirit lead me and guide me to what is truth. This is what we're talking about. Immerse yourself in God's word. Don't stop reading it. Read it daily. We were in a group of friends, and maybe you've heard this as well. You're like, hey, I watched this video. You and your friends say that? Or you ever say, hey, I listened to this podcast. We were in a small group meeting, and that's what I kept hearing over and over. I heard in a podcast. 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 I'm not kidding. It was almost 10 times. And I begin to notice, like, oh my gosh, we care more about what the podcast says than about what God's word says. And I begin to think about my own life. I'm like, man, how many times have I just went to YouTube to try to find what God's word says versus really going to God's word? Now, here's what's fun. There's all sorts of helpful people out there. But once again, it's trying to just go to the real thing first. Read it, understand it, know it. Test what you hear against God's word. And listen, if you're seeking and searching to come to know who God, or like I said, you came in agnostic, you came in disbelieving, you came in already with core beliefs about who God is, I tell you to do the same thing. You say you don't believe in God, well, come in and read about who God is. Start with the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's step into your doubts. Let's step into your fears. But before you cast a disbelief, understand what you don't believe in. But for us to understand what is true, for us to understand what is good for us, as they say in 2 Timothy, profitable for teaching, reproofing, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, we must know and understand God's word. Here's what I think is beautiful. I'm on a tangent now, is that number one, you know what's crazy? Is that there is more content and information than ever before, right? But you know what? There is more access to God's word than ever before, ever before. You can literally download it on your phone. You can buy 50 different Bibles with 50 different colors and 50 different add-ons to make you love it just a little bit more. Like, you have an increase in both. And God, I believe, is saying, listen, you have to consume this before you ever consume this. And so we get to the second thing. is that number one, the second thing, and this will be the final one, just audit your content diet. Audit your content diet. That's the simple thing. What are you listening to? Who's leading you? Who's guiding you? Take an audit of it. Take everything that you're hearing and just begin to run it through God's word. Now, what this may require you to do is silence a few things, because you can't do this with every 60-second clip. But begin to look at your content. Social media, podcasts, and books are all shaping our theology now more than ever. And Jesus' warning means that we must be intentional about who we allow to influence us and who we allow to influence our own kids. So I want to invite Ryan to come up, and we're going to just go into a moment to reflect. Listen, I want to tell you, maybe today you realize that you placed your trust in things of this world. Maybe today you've been wrestling with just what is true, what is right. But maybe today you found that you've put your faith and trust in things that don't last. You put your faith and trust in teachings that actually haven't brought you fruit, that haven't brought life to your story. I was in Eastern Kentucky University from 2011 to 2015, and I studied biology. And there was one overarching theme in every single year, every single class that came in through those studies is that you weren't created. You were here through natural processes that all were by coincidence and nothingness. Like, your whole purpose is life is actually just to survive and reproduce. Like, all of man is just a expression of all of the micro changes over the course of time. You actually aren't unique. And you just hear over and over and over again. And I just begin to cry out and see, I'm like, what fruit is there in this? A life without purpose? A life without meaning? To see that man is just another part of this story of that's leading to death and destruction. You're like, what fruit is there in any sort of teaching like that? That's just one of the most extreme ones. What about your life? What have you been listening to, and has it been giving you fruit? Listen, there are so many voices out there promising fulfillment but leaving you empty. But here's what we find in my story and the stories of so many others is that through Christ Jesus that we have been able to experience and encounter what we believe to be true. And we believe it to be true because we have experienced it. We have come to know it. We have seen God come in and rescue us. We have seen God come in and save us. We have seen God come in and transform us. We don't all have all the answers. We all don't have it all figured out, but we have come to the knowledge of who Christ is and how much that he loves us. And it's all because of the teaching that has come and the word that has come. So listen, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you've been seeking and searching for a long time. Keep seeking, keep searching. But we'd love to have a conversation with you and tell you about who Christ is. Tell you about the fullness of the story of God and how he has seen you and recognized you, that the salvation has come for the entire world and you are a part of it. That if you'd love to have that conversation, we would just invite you to come forward today. But I want us to finish all with this hope. Listen, who are you listening to? Who's leading you? Is it true or is it false? I pray that we would just get to know the real thing more and more, that we may live a life that is following Christ and the truth of the gospel, the truth of the world, that we may follow it today. Would you stand? Want to pray? We're going to have a prayer team in the back. Maybe there's something you're struggling with, or maybe there's something that you're walking through. I'll be up here in the front. Once again, if you want to make a decision, though, today, a decision of faith today to put your faith and trust in Jesus versus all these other things, we want to help you do just that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come into your house. Lord, may you just continue to fill this place, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, may you just continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, and direct us. But God, may we above all things seek out today truth. And Lord, may we seek it out in your word. Lord, may we stand firm against any false teaching. May we be aware of all those things that may come against us and come against your word and your truth. May we stand firm today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.